and gentlemen,
presenting
Rolling and Rolling and
Rolling.
Martin?
From our Washington, D.C. studio. Roland Martin, good morning.
Tom Sybil, as well as Damon, glad to chat with you. Last night, President Barack Obama gave his seventh and final State of the Union address, addressing a joint session of Congress. Here is a sample of what he had to say.
It's one of the few regrets of my presidency that the rancor and suspicion between the parties has gotten worse instead of better. I have no doubt a president with the gifts of Lincoln or Roosevelt might have better bridged the divide. And I guarantee I'll keep trying to be better so long as I hold this office. The future we want will only happen if we work together. It will only happen if we can have rational, constructive debates. It will only happen if we fix our politics. There will be voices urging us to fall back into our respective tribes, to scapegoat fellow citizens who don't look like us or pray like us or vote like we do or share the same background. We can't afford to go down that path. I'm guessing we won't agree on health care anytime soon. But, oh, applause back there. Let's make America the country that cures cancer once and for all. What do you say, Jeff? Look, if anybody still wants to dispute the science around climate change, have at it. You will be pretty lonely.
All right, then. That was President Obama. Joining me right now is Cornell Belcher, of course, one of our top pollsters. Cornell, first of all, normally when the president gives a State of the Union address, it's always a question of looking at how folks reacted in poll numbers. Well, that's changed in terms of how social media has changed the world. You don't really focus on that anymore.
No, not so much, because it's a snap poll every time the president speaks at State of the Union, because Black Twitter is a mass of people, and it's an important mass of people. And to a certain extent, you know, what's happening on the social media space is driving opinion just as much as what you traditionally would have with the networks and the pundits. Quite frankly, I think that the Black media social space does a better job than the punditry space that you see a lot on television right now.
One of the things that was interesting is that he talked a lot about in terms of civility, if you will, and said, look, you know, even if maybe, you know, if a Lincoln or Roosevelt was here, things would be better. But the bottom line is you have a toxic atmosphere, where he even said last night there are things that you guys want to support, but your base will not let you.
You know, Roland, I had the pleasure of starting with the president back in 2007, 2008, when he laid down what is a fundamental predicate of his campaign, and that was that our politics is broken and we're not going to solve the big problems that confront America unless we fix our politics. And the president was very straightforward there, that truth of the matter is our politics is still broken. In fact, it is perhaps more broken now than it has been before. And we cannot pretend that some of that doesn't have to do with, quite frankly, the changes that are taking place in America. But I think his speech did a couple of things. It was to talk about these changes. He talked a lot about the changes and the opportunity that we have because of the changes to sort of pull us back from the anxiousness and the anxiety and the sort of division that a lot of people are trying to drive around these changes. And I also thought it was a very values-based speech. Yes, he defended what he's been doing for the last couple of years as his presidency, but he talked about what the future should be if we can fix our politics, and talked about how, frankly, the American people are better than our politics right now. And if our politics are as good as the American people are, we'll solve the problem and win the future.
It's also interesting, Tom, in terms of what it feels like on the floor as well. Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California, she actually was there last night. Congresswoman, so how does it feel when you have members on the Republican side who don't want to stand up, and then you have some Democrats who don't want to stand up on certain stuff as well?
Well, let me just say, I sit on the Republican side, first of all, to try to encourage
you. You invade the enemy.
I try to encourage them to be bipartisan, because the president certainly has been since he was elected. And so it's disappointing when you know, and you can feel some members wanting to stand and clap on some issues that they care about, HIV and AIDS, for example, or on issues around poverty, but something holds them back. And so that makes me believe that
either the far right or
someone is kind of holding them back. But then there are others who just don't believe in this president's agenda. They don't like him for whatever reason. They decided early on they weren't going to support him. So even if they they liked what he said or supported what he said, they would never even want to acknowledge that because they just don't support this president.
Have Cornell, you ever had a, Roland, can you ask
go ahead.
If you ever had like an adult beverage or a coffee conversation with them, Congresswoman, about what their dislike of the president and just get to the basics of it, or is it just because he is who he is?
Sybil is asking, have you ever had a drink with Republicans to ask them, look, why y'all don't like this brother?
First of all, I don't drink.
Well, she didn't say alcohol. She said coffee or some cranberry juice or some orange juice.
Okay. Well, over coffee, I've asked several of them. And, of course, they deny that it's just they don't like him. They say there are all these other reasons. He came into office. He was not experienced. That he's elitist. That he thinks he knows more than they do. You know, there are all of these excuses. But then they always say, well, you know, hopefully we can work together. But then when we try, and I always talk to them about this, look, here's an area where perhaps we can work together, and there's always a reason why we can't. But I don't believe they will be honest about why they don't support this president. And I think Mitch McConnell was probably the most honest one when he said early on, look, our first goal is to make sure he's a one-term president. And then secondly, once President Obama won, he said, well, we're going to make sure that his agenda does not move forward.
Cornell, real quick, what's up with his anger? These folks are all mad. The president talked to that real quick.
They want their country back.
That's it.
Cornell Belcher, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Last SOTU. Yeah, you know, want the country back.
It's their country.
Right, right.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with it.
As if we've been renting it for the last several years. Shout out. First Lady was rocking it last night, Tom.
Stunning.
You stuttered there, Roland.
Hey, man, a black woman would do that to you. She'll make it
25 balls. Past the hour.